Friday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
It's bizarre, isn't it? As they come out of the lockdown in Brisbane, we go into lockdown up here against all the odds. Everyone had sort of moved on from that case a week or so ago. And look where we are now. It happens so suddenly. Now, I'll just read briefly from the Courier today. Queensland's been warned to brace for months of rolling lockdowns to burn out COVID cases before they get out of control as the southeast wakes up to the toughest mask restrictions ever implemented in the state. Residents in the 11 local government areas released from an eight-day snap lockdown will now have to wear masks at all times in high schools and workplaces, even when social distancing is possible. And this comes as the Premier said that the state should get used to months of rolling lockdowns, warning people to be under no illusion there won't be more outbreaks. Now, as southeast Queensland came out of lockdown, Cairns residents were ordered to stay at home for 3 days to deal with a troubling case. They call it a troubling case of a taxi driver who'd been contagious in the community for 10 days. Infectious diseases specialist associate Professor Paul Griffin said people should not be waiting for a Freedom Day like that celebrated in the United Kingdom, but should get used to continuing restrictions to deal with the Delta strain. Well, up until this case, and for a long time now, we've been fundamentally feeling very, very, well, lucky to avoid the scourge of the lockdowns, but not anymore. Dr. Paul Griffin, Director, Infectious Diseases, Mater Health, is on the line. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Came as a bit of a shock yesterday. We've dodged bullets for quite a period of time, but this one came as a heck of a surprise.
And I think this is the reality that we're going to see. These cases can pop up anywhere, and while we've been fortunate in this state, and particularly in many parts of the state, to be relatively spared from this, it is the new normal, I think, and cases can pop up anywhere. And that's why we need to have a healthy level of awareness so that we can get on top of these things quickly.
Why can't we look forward to a Freedom Day like they've enjoyed in the United Kingdom?
I think for a few reasons. I mean, they went fairly early with that and are seeing, I guess, some consequences there, and that are seeing some transmission. And what I think would be a better plan is that we gradually ease back our restrictions as our vaccination coverage goes up. Mm. And so I think that the prospect of having a day where we forget about testing and masks and social distancing and hand hygiene altogether is just not one that's realistic. And what I think we should strive for is some healthy level of a background mitigation strategy, some changes in behaviour that are long-lasting, such as using masks automatically where we can't social distance, like on a plane, for example, just so we keep that those additional strategies in place to enhance how well our vaccine will work.
Now, just a quick one too. I think a whole lot of us were relaxing a bit because we'd been told, oh, well, with the genomic sequencing so advanced these days and with high CT levels or cyclic threshold levels, that he was that fellow off the boat was likely to be a low infection risk, but that may not have been the case. I've got to say it hasn't been confirmed that I'm aware of yet, but I may be wrong, but there were hints this morning there could be a link between the two.
Yeah, that's right. And while all those things that were mentioned certainly mean the infection risk is lower, it doesn't make it zero, unfortunately. And so, and you know, this is why we do worry and why we do want some background mitigations in place, is while the pilot was fully vaccinated, meaning they are less likely to get it, but not completely, as we've seen, and they are less likely to pass it on. Obviously, with a low overall vaccine coverage, that means the chances are he can pass it on to someone who's not vaccinated, who will then get more sick and be more likely to pass it on. So, you know, until we have so many people vaccinated that the chances of passing on to an unvaccinated person are really low, that's why we need to do all these other things like lockdowns and masks.
Well, let's get to the vaccinations, because we've only just, at long last, we've got access via our Cairns pharmacies to the jab. I don't know if any got any supplies in by Friday, I didn't hear, but they're apparently becoming available today. So for those of you out there still waiting for pharmacies to have the jab available for you, check your corner pharmacy or your local pharmacy or your favourite pharmacy, because now hopefully we can ramp up the frequency of these jabs. Just one word on that, by the way. Where do you see us going over the next couple of months? What sort of percentage could Queensland boast in a couple of months from now, Paul Griffin?
Look, I think we really need to strive for as high as possible. I think that, you know, the targets that have been set, that, you know, where we won't need lockdowns is perhaps 70 or 80%. And while that's obviously going to be a challenge given our history so far, you know, I think we need to look to get things back on track and aim for that 70 or 80 by Christmas. I mean, if we can get past 70, you know, given our state and how well we've done and the fact that, you know, we'll be outside and socially distancing over the summer, we could hopefully aim for a summer where we don't need any lockdowns at all. But as I say, very much contingent on having a really high vaccination coverage by then, which, you know, will be challenging. But if everyone does their part and gets their vaccine at their first opportunity, then there's, you know, no reason that couldn't be the case.
Just one more, Paul. There's a fair bit of conjecture that the three-day lockdown here won't be enough. Generally speaking, does 3 days provide enough enough time, I suppose, for those seeking out the source of this infection? Does it give them enough time to do the job?
It can possibly, but a bit like our week lockdown, sometimes you don't know how long it's going to be needed till you understand the gravity of the situation. So, you know, if through increased testing and all the contact tracers doing their part, if they don't find any secondary cases and don't find a lot of exposure sites and possible contacts, so then 3 days is potentially possible. Mm. But, you know, in the ramping of the testing, you know, today and tomorrow, if we find transmission, particularly if we find unlinked cases or cases that are at least initially unlinked, yeah, well, then that lockdown may need to be extended. But, you know, the people in those areas can play a big part in this by coming out and getting tested and making sure they use their QR codes and doing all those things. That certainly enhances the work of the contact tracers and means that the shorter lockdowns become possible.
Interesting that it's a cab driver in this particular case, and the comments have been circulating, why aren't passengers getting into cabs identified with their QR code or whatever?
Yeah, well, that's right, and they're the sort of lessons we need to learn. My understanding was they were optimistic that the cab company would have reasonable records of people's journeys, but I would imagine that would be reliant on how the payment method and other things. So, you know, the more we do in terms of scanning in and being able to track where people are, the easier it is for our contact tracers, and the less time we need to be in lockdowns to, you know, ascertain the extent of the situation, like in this case. So, you know, I think we're just going to see more and more of that sort of activity.
Good to talk to you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
His name is Dr. Paul Griffin. He's the Director of Infectious Diseases at the Mater. Now it's 13 to 10. There are songs.